should wear your nice grey suit, Leo. That one looks all wrong.
Who cares? I don't.
Is that a bore, Leo? And on your birthday, too. You are a naughty boy.
Go easy on the love and kisses, will you? Instead of all these boring kisses and loving looks, not to mention gadgets for standing my watch on that are no damn use to me, why don't you try doing what I ask you? Why didn't you write to the Sylvia Coffs?
But I did, Leo.
Which of them did you write?
Sonia. I told her to be sure to be here by 1 o'clock today.
It is past two and still no sign of them. Anyway, let them please themselves. I don't care. I must drop all that business. There's no future in it. It only means being humiliated and feeling one's behaved badly. That's all there is to it. Sonia doesn't even notice me. I'm ugly, unattractive, not a bit romantic, and if she does marry me, it'll only be because she has an eye on the main chance and is after my money.
Unattractive? How can you tell what you're really like?
Oh, come, I do have eyes in my head. Look how my beard grows out of my neck here, unlike any self-respecting beard. Oh,
what's the matter?
I have a pain.
When are we going to get lunch, my dear? It's after 2 o'clock.
Yes, I know, but the cerebriacals haven't arrived
yet. Yes, but
yet.
How much longer do we have to wait, my dear? I'm hungry, and so is George. Yeah,
there's your family really coming.
Well, Helen's dressing as they left the house. Hmm.
Does that mean we can count on
her? Oh, I wouldn't say we could count on anything. Yeah. The great man might have gout or one of his moves, in which case they'll stay put.
Let's eat then. Why wait? Come on, darling, come and start then. Please help yourselves. Sylvia Coffs haven't turned up. Theodore Orlovsky isn't here. And the wood demon hasn't come either. They've forgotten.
Some vodka for you, Godfather.
Just a drop, my dear. Thank you, that's right.
You do have everything running splendidly here, Julia. When I go for a ride in your fields, walk in the shade of your garden, or just gaze at this table here. Everywhere I see the mighty power of your enchanting little hand. Your very good health.
Yes, I know, but it's an awful nuisance, you know. For instance, last night Nazarka forgot to put the young turkeys in the shed. They were out in the garden all night, and this morning 5 of them had died.
Oh, we shouldn't have done that. Yeah. So turkeys are sensitive birds.
Yeah, Waffles, cut me a slice of ham, will you?
Oh, greatest of pleasure. Oh, what a splendid ham. Fabulous. It's like something from the Arabian Nights. I'll carve it according to the Book of Rules, George. Beethoven and Shakespeare couldn't put more art into it. Oh, this knife's a bit blunt, though.
Steady on, Waffles. I can't stand that, please.
Well, what's been going on at your place? Tell us, George.
Oh, well, nothing's going on.
Well, what's new?
Oh, nothing. It's the same old story. No different this year from last. I talk a lot, as usual. Don't get much done. My dear mother, the old chatterbox, still keeps burbling on about the emancipation of women. She's 1 foot in the grave, but she still reads all those solemn pamphlets and thinks they'll lead her to a new life.
What about Alexander?
Professor! Yeah. Well, the moths haven't got him yet, I'm sorry to say. He still sits in his study, writing from morning until last thing at night. I pity the paper he writes. And Sonia is just the same, too. She still reads serious books, keeps the most formidable diary.
Ah, my darling Sonia.
You know, with my powers of observation, I ought to write a novel. What a subject. He's just asking to be written up. A retired professor. An old fossil, a sort of academic stuffed trout. He suffers from gout, rheumatism, migraine, liver trouble and all the rest of it. Yeah. He's as jealous as Othello, lives on his first wife's estate. Not that he wants to live there, but he can't afford to live in town. And he's forever moaning about his misfortunes, though actually he's been pretty lucky.
Oh, gab, gab, gab.
Well, of course he has. Just think what luck he's had. We won't say anything about him being the son of an ordinary parish clerk who became a person of consequence, married a senator's daughter and so forth. No, none of that matters. But mark my next point. For precisely 25 years, the man has been lecturing and writing about art. And what does he understand about art? Nothing. For 25 years, he's been writing and lecturing about things which intelligent people have known all along, which don't interest fools anyway. So that, for 25 years, he's been chasing his own shadow. And all that time, what fantastic success, what colossal fame. Why, what ever for, what right is he to?
You're jealous. You're jealous.
Well, all right, then I'm jealous.
Okay.
And what a success with the women. Casanova himself couldn't have done better.
Georgie?
His first wife, my own sister, a beautiful, gentle creature, as pure as the blue sky above us. She loved him. As only angels in heaven can love beings as pure and lovely as themselves. And my own mother, his mother-in-law, still idolizes him, still goes in awe of him. His second wife, well, you've seen her. A beautiful, intelligent woman. She married him when he was already an old man and gave him a youth, a beauty, a freedom, a radiance. Why, whatever for? She's so gifted, you know. A real artist. She plays the piano superbly.
Oh, it's a very gifted family. There are a few like them, you know.
I agree. Sonia, for instance, has quite a voice. Magnificent soprano. I've never heard anything to match it, even in St. Petersburg. But, you know, she is inclined to force her top notes. It's a great pity. Let me have those top notes. I must have them. Oh, if she only had the top notes, I bet you anything you like, she'd really hit the heights. You see what I mean? Sorry, all of you. I must have a word with Julia. And send someone over there with a message. Tell them if they can't come now, they must come to dinner. And don't do anything silly or let me down by making spelling mistakes. Dinner is spelt with two N's. Please.
I hear that Madame Helen Serebryakov, the professor's good lady, whom I have not had the pleasure of meeting, is distinguished not only for her spiritual beauty, but the beauty of her physical attributes as well.
Oh, yes. She's a wonderful woman.
Is she faithful to her professor?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry to say.
Why sorry?
Well, because she's faithful in a way that's so thoroughly bogus. Oh, it sounds impressive enough, but it just doesn't make sense. To be unfaithful to an elderly husband you can't stand, that's immoral. But to stifle your own youth and the spark of life that's inside you, that's not immoral at all. Where's the sense of that, I mean?
Georgie, I hate it when you talk like that. Well, really. I'm actually trembling. Gentlemen, I do not possess the power of flowery language. Let me express my honest opinion without oratorical flourishes. Gentlemen, anybody who could betray a wife or a husband could be unreliable enough to betray his country as well.
Oh,
Georgie, let me go on, please. My good friends, you all know the vicissitudes of my fate. The day after I was married, my wife ran away with another man because of my unprepossessing appearance.
Oh, well, can you blame
Let me go on, Georgie, please. Since that event, I have always done my duty. I still love her. I am still faithful to her. I help her all I can. And I've left all I possess to the children by that other man. I've done my duty, and I'm proud of it. Proud of it. I've lost my happiness, but I've kept my pride. But what of her? What has she got left? She's no longer young. She's lost her looks, which was bound to happen sooner or later, and her lover is dead. Poor chap. So what has she got left? I'm perfectly serious, and you laugh.
No. You're a good chap. You're a splendid chap, in fact. But you do go on and on, so. And throw your arms about her.
Well, what an old...
Ah, Theo, my dear boy.
Happy birthday. Be a big man someday. Poor fool, Sir George. My revered parent.
Where did you get to? You shouldn't be so late.
Oh, I say, you and your beard, my dear boy, it is magnificent. Look at him, the handsome devil. Isn't he a handsome devil, eh? Look.
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Aren't those Serebryakovs here yet?
They haven't turned up.
Where's Julia, then?
I don't know what's keeping her. It's time to serve the pie. I'll just go and call her.
Oh, dear.
What's got into Brother Leo? You know, it's baby's birthday. He seems to have got out of his cot on the wrong side.
The other man's a swine.
No. His nerves are all to pieces. He can't help it.
He thinks too much of himself, hence the nerves. If you told him the herring tasted good, he'd be up in arms at once because you praised the herring instead of him. Oh, here he comes.
Ah.
Hello, Theo. Help yourself.
Hello,
look
my darling.
I'm giving Leo for his birthday.
What's this? Oh, it's a watch there. Now, isn't that lovely,
my darling? The
gold
thread alone came to 8.5 rubles.
No.
And look at the edges. Rows and rows and rows of tiny little pearls.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And here's his name, Leonid.
Yes.
And look at this fine embroidery.
Yeah.
To him, oh. I love.
Let me have a look.
My darling.
Oh, charming.
I'll pack it. That's quite enough of that. Julia, tell them bring the champagne.
That's for this evening, Theo.
You'll go in on it right away or I'm leaving.
Oh,
I mean it. I shall go away. Where do you keep it? I'll get it myself.
He's turning the house upside down, Theo. Vasily, here's the key.
Jeez.
The champagne's in the larder near the bag of raisins in the corner. And mind you, don't throw anything in the
door. Three bottles, Vasily.
You're not up to anything in this world, Theo. You're hopeless.
No, we are putting people in their places, aren't we?
I think someone's just arrived. Did you hear anything?
No.
Get there, Mrs. Serebryakov here.
Well.
Quite overjoyed, aren't we?
Some people are tactless, I must say. He's carrying on with the professor's wife. And can't even keep it to himself.
Who is?
Why, George, of course. The way he was singing her praises just before you came, it was downright improper.
And who told you he was carrying on with that?
I'm not exactly blind. Anyway, it's the talk of the whole neighborhood.
It's stuff and nonsense, because nobody's carrying on with that. Yeah.
Hello, Alexander. Hello. fit. Splendid.
How are you, old man? Delighted to see you. Haven't been back long.
Yes, since Friday. Mrs. Boynitsky, how are you keeping, madam?
My dear.
Sonia, my little pet, my little canary. darling, come along.
You look just the same as ever, you nice sentimental old thing.
Oh, my dear, haven't you grown? And you're as pretty as a picture, my pet.
How are you keeping? Are you well?
Fit as a fiddle, fit as a fiddle.
Oh, I didn't notice his lordship.
Well, and how is life, old man?
So, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Now, you know, I made over my estate to my son, and I found decent husbands for all my daughters, and now I'm the freest man in the world. I'm having a whale of a time.
May I introduce myself, sir? Ilya Diadin. Or as my friends have wittily called me on account of my pockmarked face, Waffles.
How do you do?
How do you do? Oh!
Madame, what must I have?
Oh, it's a pity I don't pay. You make such a marvelous group.
Michael, my dear godson.
Madame.
Yes. Many happy returns to Leo.
Hello there. Julius, you're pretty today.
Thank you.
Sonia.
Why so late? Where have you been?
Oh, attending a patient.
The pie's quite cold.
Mind, Julia. Eat it cold. Now, where do you want me to sit?
Come and sit here.
I'm absolutely ravenous. Oh, yeah. Just a minute.
What?
Happy birthday. Now, Julia, peace and fun. I haven't seen you for ages.
Oh, no, it's been such a long time. I've been abroad,
yes,
you know.
I know, and I'm very envious.
Oh, my dear Michael, my dear.
How are you, Phil?
Oh, I can't complain. Both estates going along quite nicely, but there's too much travelling, old boy. Here to the Caucasus, back here, back to the Caucasus again. But I run my little colony and catch tarantulas and scorpions, and on the whole, things are all right. But when it comes to the still ye raging passions and things like that, there's no change at all.
You're in love, I think.
Must have had a drink on that, Mr. Woodgeman. Gentlemen, never fall in love with a married woman. Better have a bullet clean through the shoulder and another through your leg, like your humble servant, than ever fall in love with a married woman. It's more trouble than it's worth.
Have you no hope?
Yes.
Oh, nothing is hopeless in this world. It's simply a question of willpower. I've hardly spoken more than a half a dozen words to her, and already she's in my power. I simply said to her, Madam, whatever you see a window anywhere, think of me. So she thinks of me 1,000 times a day. Besides, I bombard her with letters every day.
That's a rather poor technique.
Hmm?
Yeah. She may not read the letters when she gets them.
Oh, you think so, do you? Well, somehow or other, I've been on this earth 35 years now, and I've never yet come across one of those phenomenal females with the strength of will not to open a letter.
Oh, isn't he terrific? Oh, you're a chip off the old block, you handsome devil, you. I was exactly like him, you know, exactly like him. The only difference was I never went to the war, but I did drink vodka, threw my money about like nobody's business.
You know, Michael, I do love her damn seriously. She's only got to say the words, she can have anything she likes. I'll take it to my place in the mountains, in the Caucasus. We were on top of the world. Thou shalt of all the universe be queen, O faithful mistress mine. He doesn't know her luck, believe you me.
Who is the lucky girl?
Curiosity killed the cat. Let's change the subject, shall we? Ah, I remember 10 years ago, Leo was still at school, but we were celebrating his birthday, just like we are now. And I drove home with Sonia on my left arm, Julia on my right, both of them hanging onto my beard. So, I give you a toast to the friends of my youth, Sonia and Julia.
I say, let's drink to friendliness. Long live friendship and the best of jolly good luck.
Sonia, I'll have a bet with you, damn it all. I'll wager 300 rubles. Go out in the cross here on after lunch, and I bet you 300 rubles I go through all the hoops and back in one go.
Well, I take you on, only I haven't got 300 rubles.
All right, then, if you lose, you must sing to me 40 times.
All right. What sort of bird is that?
A hawk. Yes. It's health, everyone.
The hawk!
The hawk!
Oh, she's got a bit of the giggles! Now it's got into him, too!
I'm sorry.
Stop it. This is what the Bible calls the laughter of fools.
Well, you only have to hold up a finger to either of those two and they fall about laughing. Sonia!
All right, everybody. All right, that'll do. I must be off.
Oh, to see a patient. I am sick and tired of my profession. It's like an unloved wife for a long winter.
But look here. Medicine is your profession, after all. Your business, so to speak.
He has another profession. He digs peat on his land.
What?
Peat. Some engineer has it all worked out. There is 720,000 rubles worth of peat on his land, and that is no joke.
Yes, I don't dig peat to make money.
Oh, well, what do you dig it for?
To stop you cutting down the forest.
Oh, why shouldn't I cut them down? You know, whenever I've been favored with your speeches on behalf of the forest, every word has been stale, frivolous, and vile.
I'm sorry,
I know what I'm talking about. For instance, oh, men and women, you destroy our forests. They are the glory of our earth. They teach man to appreciate beauty and give him a sense of grandeur. Forests alleviate a harsh climate. In a mild climate, less effort is spent on the struggle for existence so that men and women are gentler and more affectionate. In a mild climate, people are handsome, adaptable, and sensitive. Their speech is elegant, and their movements are graceful. Art and learning flourish among them. Their philosophy is cheerful, and they treat their women folk with great delicacy and chivalry, and so on and so forth. That's all very charming and so unconvincing. You really must allow me to carry on burning logs in my stilts and building my barns of wood.
Just cut timber by all means if you really need it. But it is time we stop ruining our forests. When the forests of Russia are crashing down before the axe. Millions upon millions of trees perish. The homes of birds and beasts are devastated. Wonderful scenery disappears without trace. Rivers grow shallow and dry up, and all because man is so lazy and hasn't the sense to bend down and get his fuel from the ground. And who can burn beauty like this in his stove? Only an unreasoning brute. Man has been granted reason and the power to create, but up to now he hasn't been a creator, only a destroyer. Oh, yes, you look at me ironically. You find everything I say stale and frivolous. But I tell you, when I walk past our village woodlands, which I have saved from the axe, or I hear the rustle of my own saplings, which I have planted with these hands, then I feel that I, too, have some slight control over the climate. And if man is happy 1,000 years from now, I'll have done a bit towards it myself.
Yes, that's all very well, but if you looked at the thing less from a sensational and more from a scientific point of view,
George,
you would see...
This always leaves a nasty taste in the mouth. Now, please,
Let's talk about it anymore, please.
What's the matter, Grandmother? It quite slipped my mind. I forgot to tell you, Alexander, I had a letter from Kharkov this morning from Paul Alexeyevich. He sent you his regards.
Really? I'm delighted to hear it.
He sent me his new pamphlet and asked me to show it to you.
Interesting,
but rather odd. He attacks the very position he was defending 7 years ago. Now, isn't that typical of this age?
Well,
men have never been so ready to betray their own convictions as they are today. It's dreadful.
There's nothing dreadful about it. Have some fish, Mother.
But I wish to talk.
We've been talking for 50 years. We've been talking about trends and schools have thought it's about time we stopped.
For some reason, you appear to dislike the sound of my voice. Well, I'm sorry to have to say this, George. But this last year, you've changed beyond all recognition. You used to be a man of such firm principles, a shining example to our young people.
Oh, yes. I've been an example of something, all right, but I haven't exactly shone. Do you mind if I could... Shining example, huh? Well, that's a pretty poisonous joke, Mother.
Georgie.
I'm 47. Until last year, I was like you. I deliberately tried to befuddle myself with all sorts of abstract, pedantic humbug so as not to see life as it really is. And I thought I was doing the right thing. But now, if you only knew what an ass I feel at the stupid way I've wasted time, and I might have had everything that I can't have now because I'm too old.
But look here, George. You seem to be blaming your former principles for something.
That's quite enough of that, Father. Don't be a bore.
Just one moment, please. You seem to be blaming your former principles for something when they're not to blame, you are. You're forgetting that principles are no good without deeds. You should have done something.
Done something? Well, we can't all be non-stop writing machines.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Oh, nothing. Let's not talk about it. We're not at home now.
It entirely slipped my memory. Alexander, I forgot to remind you to take your medicine before lunch. I brought it with me, but I forgot to remind you.
I don't want it.
but you're not well, you know. In fact, you're very ill.
There's no need to shout it from the rooftops. I'm old and ill, I'm old and ill. That's all I hear. The Dugin, do you mind if I get up and go indoors? It's getting a bit hot out here, and I'm being bitten by mosquito.
Please do.
Oh, Leo, you must go with the professor. This is most awkward.
I'll blast them.
Let me thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Don't mention it. You've all eaten so little.
Well, everyone, what shall we do now? First, we go out in the croquet lawn, settle that bet. Then what?
Then we'd better have dinner.
Now, after that?
We could all go up to my house and go fishing on the lake this evening.
Splendid.
Charming.
Well, all right. Well, come on, everybody. Let's go and settle our bet on the croquet lawn. Then we'll have an early dinner here at Julia's. And then about sevenish, we'll drive over to the wicket. Mr. Christoph's house. Come on, Julia. Let's go and get the croquet balls.
Vasily, bring some wine up in the croquet lawn. We'll drink the winner's health. Well, revered parent, are you going to take part in this noble sport?
Well, not just yet, my boy. No, I better spend 5 or 10 minutes with Alexander. Otherwise, it'll look bad. One must keep up appearances, my boy. Now, carry on without me. I'll be back soon.
I shall of all the universe be queen. Oh, faithful mistress mine.
I must go and kneel at the feet of the learned professor, anticipating the exalted professor.
Waffles, you are a bore. Go.
I am going.
Will you do me a great favor, Bonitsky? Let's never talk about Forrest Joe Manson again. I wish you a very good afternoon.
What a narrow-minded fellow. I don't care how much nonsense people talk. I don't like it when they put so much feeling into it.
Once again, you've behaved abominably, George. Did you have to quarrel with Alexander and your mother and bring up all that stuff about non-stop writing machines? It's a rather poor way to behave, I must say.
What if I hate him?
There's no reason to hate Alexander. He's just the same as everyone else.
I guess he doesn't get
Yes, well, if you could only see your face and the way you move, it's as though life itself is too much for you, altogether too much.
Dear me, it is, and I'm so bored, too. Everyone runs down my husband to my face as if I wasn't there at all. All of them, even the nicest ones, would like me to leave, Alexander. Yes, it's just what the wood demon was saying just now. You all wantonly destroy the forest, and you destroy men and women, too, every bit as wantonly. Why does it upset you so much to see a faithful wife that doesn't belong to you? Because, and the wood demon's right, there's a demon of destruction in every one of you.
Look, I can't bear this sort of pretentious talk.
And you can tell your friend Theodore I'm sick and tired of his impertinence. It's thoroughly disgusting to look me straight in the eyes and to shout to all and sundry about his love for some married woman. It's a rather poor way to behave, I must say.
Voila!
Isn't the wood demon nice? He often comes to see us, but I'm rather shy, so we've never had a really good talk, and I've never been very friendly towards him. I expect he thinks I'm bad-tempered or proud. Do you know why you and I are such good friends, George? It must be because we're both such tiresome bores. Yes, bores. Don't look at me like that. I don't like it.
Well, how else should I look at you when I love you? It's all right. I don't want anything from you. Just let me look at you and listen to your voice.
Helen, where are you?
Here.
Come inside and sit with us for a bit, my dear.
Let me speak of my love. If only you don't drive me away, that's all I need to be the happiest man on earth.
Is that you, Sonia?
No, it's me.
Oh, it's you, Helen. Oh, I'm in agony.
Your rug's fallen on the floor. I'd better close the window.
No, it's too stuffy. Just now,
I dozed off and dreamed my left leg didn't belong to me. I woke up with this excruciating pain. What time is it?
1:20.
You might look out Bet you've got poems for me in the library tomorrow. I think we have some.
What's that?
Find me a Bet Euskoff in the morning. I seem to remember we have one. But why do I find it so hard to breathe?
You're tired. Oh. It's the second night you've had no sleep.
They say that's how Turgenev got angina, you know, from having gout. I'm afraid it might happen to me. Old age, what a damnable, disgusting thing it is, confound it. Since I've grown so old, I've even begun to disgust myself. And obviously none of you can stand the sight of me.
Why you go on about your age? Anybody would think it was all our fault.
Because you're the one who really can't stand me.
Oh, don't be such a bore.
Of course you're right. I'm not so foolish, I don't understand. You're a good-looking, healthy young woman who wants a bit of life, and I'm an old man, more dead than alive. Do you really think? I can't understand. Stupid of me, of course, to go on living at all. But wait a bit. I'll soon set you all free. I shan't last much longer.
Oh, I feel quite faint. If these sleepless nights have earned me any reward, all I ask is that you stop talking. For God's sake, stop it. That's
all
I ask.
What it comes to is that you're all faint and weary and wasting the best years of your lives on my account, and I'm the only one who's happy and enjoys life. It's obvious, isn't it?
Oh, do stop it. You've completely worn me out.
I've worn everybody out, haven't I, obviously.
What do you want from me?
Oh, nothing.
Well, in that case, stop talking, please.
It's a curious thing. But if George or that imbecile old mother of his ever say anything, it's perfectly all right and everybody listen. But I've only got to open my mouth and everyone starts feeling miserable. Even my voice disgusts you. All right, so I'm disgusting, I'm selfish, I'm a tyrant. But haven't I earned the right to a bit of selfishness? My life hasn't been all that easy. Orlovsky was a student with me at one time. Ask him. He led a gay life, went out with gypsy girls, and was a kind benefactor to me. While I lived in cheap, dirty lodgings, slaving away night and day, going short of food and worrying because I was living at someone else's expense. I went to Heidelberg, but I saw nothing of Heidelberg while I was there. I went to Paris and saw nothing of Paris either. I was cooped up indoors, day and night, working. And since I got my university chair, I've spent my whole life, so to speak, serving faithfully in the ranks of scholarship, and I'm still soldiering on. Hasn't that earned me the right to a peaceful old age and a little consideration from others?
No one's disputing your rights. The wind's getting up. I had better close the window. It's going to rain. No one's disputing your rights.
You give your whole life to scholarship. You get used to your lecture room, your books, and your distinguished colleague. And then God knows why. You end up in this dead and alive hole where you can't get away from second-rate people and their inane chatter. I want some life. I like to be well known and cause a bit of a stir. But here I might as well be exiled to the depths of Siberia. To spend one's whole life regretting one's past, watching others succeed and living in fear of death, it's too much. I can't stand it. And now you won't even forgive me for growing old.
Just be patient. In 5 or 6 years, I'll be old, too.
I can't think why there's no doctor here yet. I told Stephen to go and fetch the wood demon if the local man's out.
What do I want with this wood demon of yours? He knows as much about medicine as I know about astronomy.
Well, we can hardly bring an entire medical faculty here to attend to your guest.
Well, I won't talk with him. The fellow's a complete crackpot.
Have it your own way. I don't care.
What time is it?
1:00.
Oh, it's so stuffy in here. Sonny, will you get me my medicine from the desert.
Here you are.
Oh, really, not that one. It's no use asking for anything.
Please, stop behaving like a child. It may appeal to some people, but don't treat me that way, thank you very much. I dislike that sort of thing.
That is quite impossible. Why are you so angry?
And why do you sound so dismal? Anyone might think you were really unhappy when actually you're one of the happiest people on earth.
Oh, yes, I've never felt better in my life.
Of course you're happy. And even if you do have gout, you know perfectly well it'll be gone by the morning. So why all the groans? What a lot of fuss about nothing.
There's going to be a storm. Why'd you see that? Helen?
Oh, Helen.
Sonia?
Helen, no. Don't leave me alone with him. He'll talk my head off.
You must let them have some sleep. They were up all last night.
Let them go to bed, but you go away too. For the sake of our past friendship, I beg of you, don't argue. We'll discuss it some other time.
Our past friendship, that's news to me.
Please be quiet, George.
No, Helen, please, don't leave me alone with him. He'll talk my head off.
This is getting ridiculous.
Are you in here? There was a shower coming up behind me. I only just managed to dodge it.
Well, look, doctor's arrived.
Well, how are we?
I don't know why they troubled you. It wasn't my idea.
Oh, that's all right. But what do you mean by falling ill like this? What's the matter?
Why do doctors always have to talk to their patients in this patronizing way?
Come on, I think you'd better go to bed. You'll be more...
It's all right, I can manage. Perfectly all right. I can walk. Only they shouldn't have bothered you. Besides, I've never had much faith in them. In the medicaments... Why are you helping me? I can manage on my own.
He's completely worn me out. I can hardly stand.
Yes, he wears you out. I wear myself out. The third night I've had no sleep.
Are in a bad way in this house. Your mother hates everything but her pamphlets and the professor. The professor's overwrought and he doesn't trust me and he's afraid of you. Sonia's annoyed with her father and not on speaking terms with me. I'm a complete wet blanket, and I'm so much on the edge. I've been on the verge of tears a dozen times today. In fact, we're all fighting each other, but what I want to know is, what's the point of it all? I mean, what's it all made of?
You can do without the moralizing.
Yes, we are in a bad way here. You're an intelligent and civilized man, George. I should have thought you could have seen why the world was heading for disaster. It's not bandits and thieves so much as all this concealed hatred, all this hostility between nice people, all these sordid little squabbles. There are people that call this house a cultural haven and they don't even notice these things. Oh, do try and help me make peace here. I can't do it on my own.
First, help me to make peace with myself, my darling.
Oh, leave me alone.
Well, soon the storm will be over. All living things will revive and breathe more freely, except me. Perhaps the storm won't revive me. I've never lived. My past life has been wasted on stupid trivialities, and the present is so futile. It appalls me. My life. And my love. What can I do with them? What can I make of them? My feelings are wasted, like a ray of sunlight falling in a well.
When you talk about love, I somehow can't think of you. I've nothing more to say to you. Good night.
If you only knew how it hurts me to think that in this very house, another life is wasting away. And I mean yours. I mean, what are you waiting for? What's stopping you? Some stupid theory or other? Well, very well, you may suppress your youthful high spirits or even try to bury them alive, but that is not what being moral means in the best sense of the word. You get that into your head.
George, you've been drinking.
Oh, yes, possibly, very possibly.
Is Theodore with you?
He's sleeping in my room tonight, possibly, very possibly, anything
I see, so you've been celebrating again today, have you? What do you do it for?
Well, it at least gives one the illusion of being alive. Don't try and stop me, Helen.
You never used to drink and you never used to talk as much as you do now. Go to bed, you bore me. And you can tell your friend Theodore that if he doesn't stop annoying me, I intend to do something about it.
My darling, my wonderful woman.
Your husband's asking for you.
Right, I'm coming.
You might remember that her husband was married to your sister. That you have a young girl living under the same roof. You should be thoroughly ashamed of yourself.
Ten years ago, I used to meet her at my sister's. She was 17 then, and I was 37. Why didn't I fall in love with her then and ask her to marry me? It would have been the most natural thing in the world. Oh, God. My head's in such a whirl. Why am I so old?
Why can't you understand me?
Why am I such a dreadful character? I envy that gay spark Theodore, that stupid wood demon. They are natural, sincere, and stupid, and free from this damned irony which poisons everything.
On your own? No ladies present? No? Storm woke me. What time is it?
How the hell should I know?
I thought I heard Helen speaking.
Yes, well, she was in here a moment ago.
Gorgeous creature. What's this? Peppermint. He's indeed a gorgeous creature. What's the matter? Is the professor ill or something?
Oh, yes, yes, he is.
Now, that kind of existence makes no sense to me at all. They tell me the ancient Greeks used to toss weak or sickly infants off a precipice of Mont Blanc. That's the way I treat his kind as well.
Yes, it wasn't Mont Blanc. Hmm? It was the Tarpeian Rock.
All right, make it a rock. What the hell difference does it?
You're so gloomy about this morning, huh? Feeling sorry for the professor or something?
Leave me alone, will you?
Or could it be that you're in love with Mrs. Professor? There's no harm in that. You just languish away. But let me tell you something. If I find there's so much as a grain of truth in the rumours that are going around the place, you can expect no mercy. I'll toss you off the Tarpeian Rock.
She's a friend of mine.
Already?
What do you mean, already?
A woman can become a man's friend only by the following progression. First, as an acquaintance. Next, as a mistress. And then, and only then, as a friend.
That's a pretty cheap line of talk.
Let's go and have a drink on it, Come on, I think I still got some chartreuse left. We'll have a drink, and then when it gets light, we'll go over to my place, What'd you say? Pardon me, I haven't got a tie on.
So, you've been drinking champagne with Theo again, have you, Uncle George? The boys have been getting together, haven't they? Well, all right, then. He's quite hopeless. He's been a rake since the day he was born. But what's got into you? It doesn't suit you at your time of life.
My time of life? Well, that's neither here nor there. And when people aren't really alive, they live on illusions. It's better than nothing.
We haven't got the hay in yet. Grassin told me today that it would all rot in the rain. You spend your time on illusions. You have tears in your eyes.
What do you mean, tears? No, it's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. It's the way you looked at me just now. Your poor dear mother used to look at me like that. Oh, my darling.
Oh, my sister, my darling sister. Where is she now? Oh, if she only knew, if she only knew.
Knew what? What do you mean, Uncle?
Oh, it's such a wretched business. It's so painful. Never mind.
Thank you.
Your father won't listen to me. I say it's gout, he says it's rheumatism. I tell him to lie down, he sits up. It's all nerves.
Oh, he's spoiled. Put your hat down and wait till the rain stops. Do you want something to eat?
Well, yes, perhaps.
I like eating in the middle of the night. I think we have some food in the sideboard. What does he want with a doctor? What he wants is a dozen women sitting around him, gazing into his eyes and groaning, Professor, here, have some cheese.
There's no way to talk about your father. He's difficult, I agree. But compared to other people, why, all these Uncle Georges and Ivan Orlovsky's on with his little finger.
Oh, here's a bottle of something. I wasn't speaking of him as a father, but as a great man. Now, I love my father, but I'm bored stiff with great men and all the Oriental ceremonial that goes with them.
Well, the storm's passing over. You're very good health.
Are you angry with us for bringing you out in the middle of the night?
No, not a bit. If you hadn't sent for me, I'd be asleep by now. It's nicer to see you in the flesh than in my dreams.
Then why do you look angry?
Because, Sonia, I have to be angry. God, I wish I could take you away from here. I can't breathe the air in this house. And I think it's poisoning you. Your father obsessed with his books and his gout and your Uncle George and then your stepmother.
Well, what about my stepmother?
Well, there are some things one can't talk about. One doesn't. So many things I don't understand about people. People should be beautiful in every way, in the way they dress, and their faces, their thoughts, their innermost selves. You're very precious to me, you know. Never mind. You know when you walk in the water in a dark night? There's sometimes a glimmer of light shining in the distance, isn't there? And then you feel so wonderful that you don't notice how tired you are, how dark it is. I work from morning till night without a moment's peace, winter and summer, battling against people who don't understand me, and sometimes it gets too much for me. Now, at last, I found my glimmer of light shining in the distance. Oh, I'm not going to say I love you more than anything in the world. I mean, love is not my whole life. It's my reward. And my... And there is no higher reward for a man who works, struggles, and suffers.
I'm sorry. Can I ask you something, Michael?
Yes, what is it? Tell me quickly.
Well, look, you come over here pretty often, and I go over to your place with my family, and you feel terribly guilty about it all, don't you?
What do you mean?
I mean this. Your democratic feelings are offended by your friendship to us. I went to an exclusive school, and Helen comes from a titled family, and we dress fashionably, while you hold these democratic views. Well, the point is, you go around digging up peat and planting trees. Well, I mean, it is a bit odd. In fact, you're a kind of socialist.
Yeah. Sonia, you're not using these words seriously. You sound quite worked up about it.
Well, I am serious, very much so.
Oh, really?
And I'll tell you another thing, and I'll bet you anything you like it's true. Suppose I had a sister, and suppose you fell in love with her and asked her to marry you. Well, you'd never forgive yourself. You'd be ashamed to show yourself to your doctor friends, including those women on the council health department. You'd be ashamed of loving someone who went to a fashionable girls' school, a namby-pamby young lady who never learned anything useful and who dresses according to the latest fashion. Oh, I know you would. I can see it in your eyes. In fact, to put it in a nutshell, those woods of yours, your peat and your embroidered shirts,
Well, they're all an affectation, a pretentious piece of play acting, and nothing else.
What have I done to deserve this? Why do you insult me, child? Well, I'm a fool. It's my own fault for not knowing my place.
I was rude. Please forgive me.
Oh, Sonia, if you only knew what a stuffy, oppressive atmosphere you have here. You're surrounded by people who come crawling up to a man and look at him sideways on and try to discover in him a socialist or a psychopath, anything you like except a human being. Oh, yes, he's a psychopath, they say. They're delighted, they're as pleased as if they discovered America, and when they don't understand me, don't know what label to stick on me, they don't blame themselves, they blame me. They say, oh, he's an odd fellow, odd. You're only 20. But you're already as old and canny as your father and your Uncle George. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if you didn't ask me to cure your gout. Look, never mind who I am. You should look me straight in the eyes. Openly, without reservations or preconceived ideas. And above all else, try to see in me a human being. Otherwise, you'll never get on with people. Oh, yes, and just remember this. With calculating, suspicious eyes like yours, you'll never fall in love.
That's not true.
Oh, yes, it is.
That's not true. Well, just to show you, I am in love, so there. I'm in love and I'm terribly, terribly unhappy. Now go away. Leave me alone, for heaven's sake, and stop coming here. Don't you come here anymore.
I wish you a very good night.
Oh, I have made him angry. Oh, I hope to God I never have a temper like that. Well, he speaks very well, but who can be sure it's not a lot of hot air? And then he has those woods on the brain. He can talk of nothing else, and he plants trees. Well, that's all very well, but it could so easily turn out to be psychopathic. Can't make him out at all. He studied medicine, but his interests are right outside medicine. It's all very odd, it really is. Oh, Lord, help me make sense of it.
Oh, the storm's over. Wonderful air. Where's the Woodie?
Oh, he's gone home.
What?
When are you going to stop sulking? We've done each other no harm, so why should we be enemies? Can't we call it off? Oh, I've wanted to myself. Helen. Oh, that's splendid. Look, we don't speak to each other for a whole month, and heaven knows why. It is high time we did call it off. Let's drink to our friendship.
Oh, yes, let's.
From the same glass? That's better. So we're friends now, Sonia.
Friends, Helen.
Oh, I wanted to make it up for ages, but I felt too embarrassed somehow.
Oh,
why are you crying?
Oh, it's nothing. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you silly girl, now that you made me cry too. I know you're angry with me because you think I married your father for selfish reasons. I give you my word of honor, if that means anything to you at all, that I married him for love. Well, he attracted me as a scholar and a public figure. It wasn't real love, but it seemed real enough at the time. It was quite artificial. But it wasn't my fault. But since the day that we've been married, you've been tormenting me with those calculating, suspicious eyes.
Oh, please. Oh, please, remember we're friends now. Oh, let's forget all that. That's the second time today someone's told me about my calculating, suspicious eyes.
Well, you must trust people or life becomes impossible.
That's once bitten, twice shy. I've been let down so often. Well, who by? Your father's a good, honest man, and he works hard. You were only on at him today about how happy he's been. Well, if he has been, then he's never noticed it because he's been working so hard. I've never tried to hurt either you or your father. And your Uncle George, he's a good, kind man, but he's unhappy and discontented. So who is it that you can't trust? Tell me honestly, as a friend, are you happy?
No.
I knew it. Another question. Tell me frankly. Do you wish you were married to somebody younger?
What a child you are, of course I do. Go on, ask me something else.
Do you like the Wood Demon?
Yes, I do, very much.
I have a foolish expression on my face, haven't I? He's just left, but I can still hear his voice and his footsteps. And if I look into a dark window, I seem to see his face in it. Oh, but let me finish what I have to say. Oh, but I can't say it out loud like this. I feel too embarrassed. Look, let's go up to my room and talk. Oh, you think I'm silly, don't you? Is he a good man?
Yes, indeed he is.
I'm puzzled by this forestry and peat business. I can't make sense of it.
Don't you see, my dear, he's a brilliant man. When he plants a tree or digs up half a hundredweight of peat, he's already working out what the result will be in 1,000 years' time, already dreaming of man's happiness. Well, people like that are precious and should be cherished. You're good, honest, courageous people. Oh, he's a little unhinged, but you're clear-headed and sensible. You'll make a very good match. As for me, well, I'm just a tiresome character and not a very important one at that. In my husband's house, in all your romantic affairs and everything, that is, I've always played a minor part. Come to think of it, Sonia, I think I must be very, very unhappy. What are you laughing at?
Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, how happy I am.
Oh, really? I'm happy, I am.
I'm happy, I'm happy.
I'd like to play the piano. Yes, I'd like to play something now.
Oh, yes, do play something. I can't sleep.
No, your father's still awake and music annoys him when he's unwell. Well, go and ask him, and I'll play something if he doesn't mind.
Oh, all right.
Oh, it's ages since I've played anything. I'll play and cry like a silly little girl. Is that you knocking, Yefim?
Hello there.
Well, stop it. The master's unwell.
I just got him. Come.
He says no.
I don't think it's ever been quite so boring here before.
You don't know the meaning of the word boredom, old boy. Oh, when I was with the volunteers in Serbia, we had the genuine article there, all right. The heat, the filth, your head practically splitting in two because you had a hangover. I remember once sitting in some filthy little shed with a certain Captain Kashkinazi. We long ago said all we had to say was nothing to do, nowhere to go, we didn't want to drink. So. He just sat there, staring at each other like a pair of snakes trying to hypnotize each other. He stares at me. I stare at him. I stare at him. He stares at me. We just go on like that, staring at each other for God knows how long. An hour passes, then another. And there we are, still staring at each other. And suddenly, God knows why, he jumps up, draws his saber and goes for me. Of course, I draw mine as well. There's no point in being killed and... I wasn't hurt, of course, but Captain Kashkenazi is still walking around with a few scars on his face.
It just goes to prove how crazy people can be.
Well, such things happen. Ah, kitten, come and sit with us a bit.
Come here a minute, Theo. Come here.
What is it? What are you looking so happy about?
Promise you'll do what I ask.
You have to tell me first.
Nothing. Just drive over to the Wood Demons.
What for?
Nothing. Just drive over and ask him why he hasn't been near us for so long, because it's been a whole fortnight.
She's blushing. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'll say, everyone, Sonia is in love. In love with the Wood Demon.
Oh, she is a lovely child. I'm so fond of her. I did think you might have married her, you know, Theo. You couldn't have found a better wife. But it's not worked out like that. But it would have given me such pleasure. I should have been so delighted. I should have come to visit you, and there you'd be with your young wife in the bosom of your family, and the samovar steaming away.
That's not my line of country at all. If I ever was crazy enough to get married, I married Julia. She's at least small. One should always choose the lesser of two evils. And she knows how to run a house. I've had an idea.
What's that?
Let's have some champagne.
Oh, No. It's too early, no? Mm-hmm. It's too hot. Huh? Leave a bit.
Look at him, the handsome devil. He wants champagne, the dear fellow.
Oh, look at that. There she goes, nearly falling over from sheer laziness. Charming sight, I must say.
George, things are quite boring enough without you going on all the time.
Our brilliant pianist. Well, you don't look much like one. Lazy, indolent, sluggish and so virtuous, I can't bear to look at you.
Then don't look at me. Let me go.
Oh, why so downhearted? No, really, my dear splendid creature, do be sensible. There's mermaid's blood flowing in your veins. Go on, be a mermaid.
Leave me alone.
Let yourself go for once in your life and fall madly in love with the river god.
And dive headlong into deep water with them and leave the learned professor and the rest of them gasping on the shore.
A mermaid, huh? How about a little love affair before it's too late?
Why are you telling me what to do? If I had my way, I wouldn't need you to show me how to live. I'd fly away, free as a bird, away from your sleepy faces and your dull, boring talk. I'd forget that you so much as even exist. Then no one would dare tell me what to do. But I've no will of my own. I'm such a coward. I keep thinking that if I was unfaithful, all other wives would do the same and leave their husbands. God would punish me and my conscience would torment me. Otherwise, I'd show you a thing or two about leading a free life.
Glorious, beautiful creature.
I think I shall soon begin to despise that woman.
Hmm?
She's as bashful as a young girl, but she lays down the law like some stuffy old parish clerk who'd never done anything wrong in his life. What sickly, wishy-washy stuff.
Oh, now, come. That'll do. Where's the professor now?
Ah, in his study. Writing.
Well, he asked me to come and see me on some business matter. You don't know what it's all about, I suppose.
Oh, he has no business affairs. All he ever does is write nonsense, grumble and feel jealous.
Yeah.
Aww.
Hello, everybody.
Bless you.
Mr. Wernitzky.
Is Professor Serebryakov in?
Yes, he's in his study.
I must go and see him. He wrote and told me he wanted to talk business.
Mr. Wernitzky, that barley you ordered, did you get it yesterday?
Yes, thank you very much. What do I owe you? We had something from you in the spring as well, didn't we? I can't remember what. We must settle up. I can't bear having my accounts in a mess or neglecting them.
Well, in the spring you had 64 bushels of rye, 2 heifers and 1 calf, and the people from the farm sent down for some butter.
Well, what do I owe you?
Well, I can't tell you that. Not without my counting frame.
Oh, very well. I'll get you one if you need one.
Well, my little love, how is Brother Leo today?
Oh, he's fine, thank you. Mm. What a lovely tie.
Mm.
Where did you get it?
In town, at Kirpichov's.
I must get one like that for Leo.
Hello,
there
we are. Yes.
Thank you.
I must say, Leo can thank his lucky stars he has Julia to run his place for him. I mean, she's so small. She's so tiny, you can scarcely see her. Look at the way she works. She's not bad, eh?
Mm, while all he does is walk around clutching his cheek, the lazy so-and-so.
Ah, my darling little beggar maid. Mm. Do you know, she goes about wearing an old-fashioned cloak. Mm. When I go into the markets on Fridays, there she is, walking all about among the carts wearing this old-fashioned cloak.
Stop putting me off.
Well, look, let's go somewhere else, everybody. Mm. What about the ballroom? I'm fed up being in here.
Ah, I don't mind. All the same to me.
Leo's wearing Caucasian dress. That's what happens when parents don't discipline their children properly. He's the best-looking man in the county. He's clever, rich. But he's just no good. He's a complete ass.
Are you here, Julia? I didn't know. What are you up to? Are you doing some sums? You look so efficient, I feel quite envious. Julia, why don't you get married?
Oh, I don't know. Approaches have been made, but I've turned them down. No real man would ever want to marry me. It's impossible.
Why not?
I'm uneducated. Taken out of school in the second form.
Whatever for?
Just wasn't any good. Why are you laughing?
Oh, I have a funny sort of feeling. I'm so happy today. I'm so happy I'm almost bored with my own happiness. I don't know what to do with myself. Well, come on, let's talk about something, shall we? Have you ever been in love? Really? With someone attractive? Who? Theodore?
Well, what about you?
Yes,
me too. Only not with Theodore.
Go on, tell me more.
I've always wanted to talk to you, Sonia.
Well, carry on.
I want to clear things up. I like you so much. I've plenty of girlfriends, but you're the nicest of the lot. If you asked me to give you 10 horses or 200 sheep, say, I'd be delighted. I'd do anything for you.
Oh, why are you so embarrassed about it?
I feel so ashamed. I like you so much. You're not the least bit proud. I say, what a lovely dress you've got on.
Go on. Well,
I don't know how to put it into clever language. May I propose to you that you should make me very happy? Mm-hmm. You must marry Leo.
Oh, don't let's say any more about that. Oh, don't let's talk about it, Julia, please. Oh, there's absolutely nowhere to go in this house. George and the two Orlovskys are wandering around, and wherever I go, I bump into them. It really is depressing. I mean, what do they want here? Why don't they go off somewhere?
Hello,
Julia. I'm sorry, I don't like kissing all the time. What's your father doing, Sonia? Sonia, I asked you a question. Sonia.
I feel so honest today that I just can't keep up the usual pretense talking to you. Here.
I found it in the garden. Come on, Juliet.
It's obvious a letter from George to me, but what have I done wrong? Why, how rude and heartless of her. She feels so honest today that she can't talk to me. My God, what an insult. Oh, I feel quite giddy. I'm going to faint. Oh.
Why do you shudder every time you see me? What's this? Oh, you must stop all this. You must think only of me.
What do you mean?
I mean that once I put my eye on a girl, she doesn't get out of my clutches in a hurry.
No, what you really mean is that you're stupid and insolent.
You'll wait for me at 7:30 by the bridge at the far side of the garden. That's all I've got to say. Until 7:30, my angel. Hey, put it very forcibly.
Get out of here.
I've been very deeply moved. I've experienced everything in this life, you see. I've even eaten goldfish soup once or twice, but I've never yet been up in a balloon or run away with the wife of a learned professor.
Please leave me alone.
Oh, yes, at once, but, you see, I've experienced everything, you see, and that's why I'm so full of impudence that I hardly know what to do with it. Anyway, the point is, if you ever need a friend or a faithful hound, apply to me. I really have been most tremendously moved.
I don't require any hounds. Please go away.
Yes, at once, but I honestly have been very deeply touched.
Oh, what a loathsome business. These people were brought up here and, I don't know, grew up here, and they should be on the best of terms, but they all seem to look at each other as if they want to eat each other alive. There were demons saving our forests, but what about the people?
How unlucky we are, Leah. Dear me, how unlucky we are.
But who asked you to speak to Sonia? Who do you think you are, village matchmaker? Now she'll think I can't speak up for myself. No. Vulgar and provincial. I've told you 1,000 times you've got to drop the whole thing. It brings nothing but humiliation and it's a dirty, rotten business. The old man must have guessed I'm in love with her and he's already taking advantage of my feelings. He'd like me to buy this estate from him.
How much does he want for it?
Well, I've got to give 2 grand myself, old fellow. I've had this headache 2 days, you know, and I ache all over.
Well, all the other. I hate this house. It's such a labyrinth. 26 enormous rooms with people wandering about in every direction so you will never find anyone. Ask George and my wife to come here.
Julia, you're not doing anything. Go and find George and Helen.
One can put up with ill health. What does it matter anyway? What I can't stand is my present state of mind. I feel as if I've left this earth entirely and got stuck on some strange planet.
Well, it all depends on your point of view.
Give me a pencil, somebody. Here's another contradiction. I must mark it.
Here you are, dear madam.
Thank you.
You want me?
Yes, I do, George.
What exactly do you require of me?
Require of you? But why are you so annoyed? If I've done something wrong, please forgive me.
Don't be so pompous. Let's get out of business. What is it?
Here's Helen. Do sit down, ladies and gentlemen. Sit here. Ladies and gentlemen, I have invited you here to announce that a government inspector is on his way. No. Joking apart. I have something serious to say. I have invited you here to ask for your help and advice. And aware as I am of your unfailing kindness, I trust I shall receive the same. I am an academic person, a man of books, and I've always been out of my depth in practical matters. I need the guidance of competent persons. So I appeal to you, Orlovsky, to you, Zeltukin, and to you, George. The thing is, manet omnes una nox. That is to say, none of us is going to live forever. I'm old and ill, and I think it's high time to put my property and affairs in order insofar as they affect my family. I'm an old man, and I'm not thinking of myself. But I do have a young wife and an unmarried daughter. They simply cannot go on living in the country.
It makes no difference to me.
We were not brought up for country life. But we cannot live in the town either, on the interest of our estate. The day before yesterday, I sold some woodland for 4,000 roubles, but that was an enormous measure which cannot be repeated every year. What we need is some procedure that guarantees us a constant, more or less, stable income. Such a procedure has occurred to me, and I venture to give it for your consideration. I won't go into details, I'll just talk in general terms. Our estate brings in an average return of no more than 2% on its capital value. I propose we sell it. If we invest the proceeds in securities, we should get 4 to 5% from them. We may even have a few thousand roubles over to buy a cottage near St. Petersburg.
Just a moment, please. My ears must be deceiving me. Would you say that again?
Invest the money in securities and buy a cottage near St. Petersburg.
No, not the bit about St. Petersburg. It was something else you said.
I propose we sell the estate.
Yes, that's it. Yes, you're going to sell the estate. That's wonderful. Yes, that's a very bright idea. What do you suggest that my old mother and I should do with ourselves?
We'll talk about that later. We can't discuss it.
No, just a moment. It looks as if I've never had a scrap of ordinary common sense. I mean, until now, I've been stupid enough to think that this estate belonged to Sonia. I mean, this estate was bought by my father as a dowry for my sister. And so far, I've been simple-minded enough to think that our laws weren't made in Turkey. I thought this estate passed from my sister to Sonia.
The estate does belong to Sonia. No one denies that. And I wouldn't venture to sell it without Sonia's consent. What's more, I'm acting in the girl's own interest.
Well, this is fantastic, isn't it? I mean, it's utterly fantastic. I mean, either I'm getting stark staring mad.
You contradict the Professor George. He knows better than we do what's right and what's wrong.
Very well. Say what you like, then. I give up.
But I don't know why you're getting so worked up, George. I'm not saying my scheme is ideal. If you all think it's no good, I shan't insist on it.
A very good day to you all. Forgive my venturing in here unannounced like this. I'm guilty, but I deserve to be let off like this. There wasn't a single domestic in your home.
I'm delighted to see you.
Professor, dear ladies, my intrusion upon these premises has a double motive. In the first place, to visit you, sir, and to offer my humble respects. And secondly, to invite you all on an expedition to my part of the world to celebrate this wonderful weather. I live in the watermill, which I rent from our mutual friend, the Wood Demon. It's a romantic and secluded spot, where at night you can hear the water nymphs splashing about. And in the daytime...
Yes, sir, just a moment. Waffles, please. This is serious. You can tell us later. Look. Ask him. This estate was bought from his uncle.
Well, why should I ask him? Where would that lead us?
Oh, now, look, I mean, this estate was bought for 95,000 roubles, as prices went in those days. And my father put only 70,000 down and left 25,000 on a mortgage. Now, listen to me. This estate would never have been bought at all if I hadn't given up my own share of the inheritance to my sister, of whom I was very fond. I mean, and what is more, I slaved away for 10 years... and paid off the whole mortgage.
What are you getting at, old fellow? I mean,
this estate... It's free from debt and in good order solely through my own personal efforts. And now that I've grown old, I'm having to be pitched out, neck and
crop. I don't know what he's getting at.
Well, I mean, for 25 years, I've managed this estate. I mean, I've worked, and I've sent the money to you. Best manager in the world couldn't have done more. And all this time, you haven't thanked me once. And all this time, when I was young, and the same today... I've been getting a salary from you of 5,000 roubles a year. A miserable pittance. Not once has it occurred to you to give me a single extra rouble.
But really, George, what you're getting at, I'm an unpractical person. I don't understand these things. You would have helped yourself to as much as you wanted, couldn't you?
What? Why didn't I steal? You mean? Yes? Oh, well, why don't you all despise me for not stealing? It would only have been fair if I had. I shouldn't be a pauper now.
Oh, George, stop it, please. I'm trembling all over. Why spoil good relations? Please don't.
25 years! I've been cooped up in this place with her, with this mother of mine. All our Our thoughts and feelings were for you alone. In the daytime, we talked of you and your writings. We were proud of your reputation, and we spoke your name with reverence. We wasted our nights reading books and journals, which I utterly despise.
What are you writing at? That's what I don't see.
You as a superior being. We knew your articles by heart. But now my eyes are open, everything is perfectly clear. Oh, yes, yes. You write about art. You haven't the faintest idea what art is all about. Your entire works, which once meant so much to me, aren't worth the brass.
My friend, Billy, help me. Look, I'll go away.
Please be quiet, George.
No, no, I will not be quiet. Wait. I haven't finished with you yet. You have ruined my life. I mean, I have not lived. I have not lived. Because of you, the first years of my life have been thrown down the drain. You're my worst enemy.
I can't stand this. I really can't. I'm going in another room. What do you want from me? And how dare you talk to me like that? The mentor. If the estate is yours, take it. I don't want it.
I say the sparks are flying. I'm
if
off.
You don't stop this instant, I shall get out of this madhouse. I've had about as much as I can take.
My life is ruined. I mean, I am gifted, intelligent, courageous. If I led a normal life, I might have been a Schopenhauer or a Dostoevsky. Or I'm talking nonsense. I'm going mad. Mother. Oh, Mother, I'm desperate. Mother, please, what am I to do?
Do as the professor says.
No, don't tell me! I know what I must do. Yes. Yes, I'll give you something to remember me by.
Really, everybody, what is all this? Rid me of this maniac!
Now just let him simmer down a little, Alexandra, and don't get so worked up yourself now.
I cannot live under the same roof with him. His room is there, nearly next to mine. I mean, why can't he have a cottage in the ground or move out to the village, or I'll move out myself, but I cannot live in the same house with him.
If anything like this happens again, I'm leaving.
Don't you try to frighten me, please.
I'm not trying to frighten anyone, but you all seem to have conspired to make my life hell. I shall go away.
Oh, we all know perfectly well that you are young and I'm old, and that you're doing me a great favor by staying here at all.
Oh, go on, finish.
Oh, come, my friend.
Please.
I'm glad to find you here, Professor. I'm sorry if I've come at the wrong time or I'm being a nuisance, but that's not the point. How are you?
What exactly do you want?
I'm sorry. I'm a bit distraught. I've been riding so fast. Professor, I've been told that you've sold your woods to Kuznetsov for timber. Now, if this is true and not just a rumor, then I say to you, please, please don't do it.
My
please.
Husband's not in the mood to talk business just now. Shall we go out into the...
I must talk to you now!
Oh, all right, very well. I can't cope with this.
Let me go and see Kuznetsov. Let me tell him you've changed your mind. How about it? You're going to fell 1,000 trees! And for what? Just to get 2,000 or 3,000 rubles to buy your wife a few miserable dresses. Why destroy them? I mean, this is quite appalling.
Now, we can talk about it later,
Michael. Come on, my love, you will never hear the end
of it.
I'll tell
you what, Professor, just hold off for a bit and I'll get the money myself and then buy it in 3 months' time.
You're behaving very strangely. Now, we all know that you're a man of principle and we humbly thank you and respect you for it. But why all this fuss?
Oh, go away, universal uncle. You just don't care.
Now, Michael, listen. You came here to pick a quarrel, my boy, and that really is not very nice. Now, principles are all very well in their place, but you need this as well. And without this little contraption, all your principles and your forests and your feet aren't worth a damn. Now, do forgive me, my dear boy, but you've still got a lot to learn.
Oh, another indeed. Time I must ask you not to come here unannounced. I must also ask you to spare me these psychopathic outbursts. You've been trying all day to make me lose my temper, and you finally succeeded. Please leave me alone. And in my opinion, all this stuff about peat and woods is sheer raving lunacy. Oh, come along, my love.
No, that was a bit steep, Alexander. Oh. No need to be quite so outspoken.
Raving lunacy. So I'm a madman, according to this distinguished academic figure. Well, I bow to your professorial authority. I'm going straight home to shave my head. But I must say it's the earth itself that's mad for still putting up with us.
Just a moment. Now, I heard all that. Now, hurry up and say something, or else I'll break down and I'll say a thing or two myself.
I said my piece already. I begged your father to spare those trees. I know I'm right, but he's insulted me and called me a madman. All right, then, I'm mad.
Oh, don't go on like that, please.
Those who hide their cruel, stony hearts behind a facade of learning. Those that pass off their own insensitivity as the height of wisdom. They are not mad. Oh, dear, no. Nor, I suppose, are those who marry old men for the sole purpose of blatantly deceiving them, of buying themselves elegant, fashionable dresses on the proceeds of destroying our trees.
Oh, listen to me, please.
Don't touch me! We've nothing in common. Oh, yes, I know what you think of me already. There's no place for me here. Our friendship has meant a lot to me, and I'm sorry. Now, I suppose all I have left is the memory of your father's gout and your remarks about my democratic sentiments. Well, it's not my fault. It's not. I must get out of this dump!
Oh, you're still here. Mr. Orlovsky has told me that my husband was rather sharp with you. I'm sorry he's in a bad temper today. As for me, I am entirely on your side, so allow me to offer you my sincere friendship.
Get away from me! I despise your friendship!
Ooh. What was that for? Why? Driving over to the post office again tomorrow.
Certainly.
If I haven't heard from my brother by then, I think I'll borrow some money from you and go to Moscow myself. After all, I can't spend the rest of my life at your mill, can I?
No, indeed. It's not for me to advise you, dear lady, but all these letters and telegrams and my daily visits to the post office, well, they're all a waste of time. I'm sorry. No matter what your brother says, you'll go back to your husband in the end.
No. No, I shan't. Let's be rational, shall we? I don't love my husband. I did like those young people, but they were so unfair to me all along, so why should I go back? No, I repeat, we must be rational.
Yes, indeed, but why did you run away? Quite frankly, there's no happiness for you in this world. A canary should sit in its cage and watch others being happy. It should stay put, in fact.
Perhaps I'm not a cage bird. Perhaps I'm free to fly where I like.
No. In this past fortnight, you've only got as far as this mill, and even that's too much for you. No, you'll stay on here until you calm down a bit, and then you'll go back to your husband.
There's someone coming. I'd better go inside.
Oh. I'll go down to the mill and have a snooze. I was up at the Lark this morning.
Why don't you come back when you wake up and we'll have some tea?
I can see a caricature of myself with a satirical caption. Just imagine someone as old and unattractive as me running off with the beautiful wife of a distinguished professor. It's charming.
Mr. Diardin! Waffles! Waffles!
Must be having a nap. Heavens, how can anybody be so stupid as old Waffles? I was driving past his barn just now when a little black pig ran out of the door. Other people's pigs get in his corn sacks. It would just serve him right.
Is that you? Julia? Oh, excuse me. This, I be. I was just going to have a snooze in the arms of Morpheus.
How are you?
I'm afraid we can't go into the house. It's not tidy and all that. Would you care to go down to the mill?
No, it's all right. Let me tell you why I've come. Leo and the professor have decided on an outing and they'd like to picnic at your mill this evening.
Oh, delighted.
I've come on ahead. The others will be here soon. Can you have the table brought out? Mm-hmm. And the samovar too, of course. And can you ask Simon to get the picnic baskets out of the carriage?
Yes.
You know that Sonia and the professor are staying with us now, don't you?
Yes.
They couldn't bear their own house since George's suicide. It wasn't too bad during the day, but at night they all sat huddled around in a corner, terrified of George's ghost appearing in the dark.
That was just superstition. Do they ever mention Helen?
Well, of course they do. You know she's cleared out.
Yes.
And now nobody knows where she is. Perhaps she's just gone away, or perhaps she was desperate enough to kill us.
Oh, no, no, my child. God is merciful. All will be well.
Well, is anyone here?
Try looking this way.
Good afternoon, Julia.
Good afternoon.
Well, I came out here to do some work again, Diardin. I don't want to stay at home. Would you ask them to put my table under this tree, where I had it yesterday, and get them to get some lamps? It's getting dark already. And some water?
Certainly, my dear sir.
Well, how are you, Julia?
Fine, thank you.
What's Brother Leo up to?
Stays at home, spends his time with Sonia.
I bet he does. Why doesn't he marry the girl?
Why, indeed. Only wish he would. He's clever, educated, and she comes from a good family, too. There's nothing I'd like more.
She's a fool.
Don't say such things.
Oh, listen, Brother Leo's a bright specimen. Yes, you and your friends are a pretty prize collection, one way and another. Quite a glut of intellect
you
there.
You must have missed your lunch today.
Oh, why?
You're in such a bad mood.
Well, you certainly know how to look after yourself, Michael. You've found a splendid place to work. It's an oasis. Yes, I mean it. Can't you imagine yourself surrounded by palm trees? Julia's a little doe, you're a lion, and I'm a tiger.
Diardin, you're a very nice fellow, but why do you go on like this? Why all these sugary words, all this foot twitching and shoulder scraping? I mean, anyone who didn't know you wouldn't know what the devil to take of you. It's a pity.
It must be the way I've made it. You're in a bad temper, but I feel inexpressibly happy, as if there was a dear little bird inside me singing a song.
I feel I'm getting stupider and cheaper and more second-rate every day. George's diary turned up after his death. Have you read it?
Yes, we did.
George's affair with Helen had the entire district buzzing like a hive. Then it turned out the whole thing was a filthy pack of lies, but I believed it. Went on like an idiot.
Oh, it was all very wrong, of course.
Yes, I first heard it from your brother, Julia. I mean, I'm a bright specimen. I don't think much of your brother, but I believed him rather than Helen. It just shows that I'm as second-rate as the rest of them.
Now, come along, child. Let's leave our bad-tempered friend to his work while we go down to the mill and amuse ourselves. And you get on with your work, Michael.
One night I watched him press his face against her hand. It's a detailed description of that night in his diary, how I came in, what I said, quotes my words. He calls me a second-rate fool. And he blames Sonia for loving me. Sonia never loved me. Even supposing there was something in it. There's no point in thinking about that now. That all began and ended in foolishness. What are you doing? What's all that for?
Mr. Diardin's orders. The ladies and gentlemen from the Zeltukin estates are going to have tea here.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I'll just... there's no point in my worrying about my work anymore. I'll just pack up and go home.
Remember lunching with us on my birthday, Sonia? You thought I looked funny, didn't you? You laughed at me.
Oh, please stop it. I'll tell you, I wasn't laughing at anything in particular.
I say, who's this I see? Hello? Working? Splendid. Where's Waffles?
At the mill.
I must go and call him.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What are you drawing?
Oh, nothing of any interest.
Is it a plan?
No, it's a map of the forests in our district. I made it. Dark brown colouring shows the forests of our grandfather's time and before. The light green shows where they've been felled in the last 25 years. And the blue colouring shows where they're still standing. Yes. Well, now, how's everything? Happy?
This is no time to think about happiness.
Well, what shall we think about, then?
That's what caused the tragedy. Thinking too much about happiness.
Just as you say.
But it's an ill wind that blows nobody any good. Misfortune has taught me to forget my own happiness and think only of others. Life should be an act of constant self-sacrifice.
As you said. Mrs. Wernitzky's son shot himself. She's still chasing contradictions in her wretched pamphlets. You've had a ghastly experience, and yet you cripple your whole life and call it self-sacrifice, which is just pandering to your own vanity. Everyone's heartless. You are, I am. All the wrong things are being done. Everything's gone to rack and ruin.
Hello there, why are you all?
By the tears, I wasn't trying to make you cry.
Never mind, it doesn't matter. Over here, Father.
It's all right, I can see you.
This way, Father.
Bye, charming.
Ladies and gentlemen, I declare the meeting open. Take out the corks.
Oh, let's forget what happened. Please forgive me.
Oh, thank you. I'm delighted, and you must forgive me, too. When I thought about that business the next day and remembered what we said, I was very sad. Do let's be friends.
Ah, my dear boy, oh, that was long overdue. A bad peace is better than a good war.
It makes me more happy than I can say so to you. Given my oasis of a visit, let me help you up with your...
Thank you, my dear sir. It is lovely. An oasis, indeed. Oh, my... There we are. Come along. Everyone, we must keep the flag flying. In our position, it's best to keep talking. We must face up to our misfortunes. I'm putting a bit of face on things at all of you because I'm the most unfortunate of us all.
Oh, I've forgotten to give you sugar. You must all have jam with your tea.
Oh, I'm delighted, delighted. Oh, Michael. Oh.
Recently, Michael, I've had so much to put up with and I've thought so many thoughts. I could probably write a treatise on the art of living for the benefit of mankind. One's never too old to learn, Una. Misfortune is a great teacher.
Let bygones be bygones, and with God's will, all be well in the end.
What was that?
I thought I heard someone shout.
It's some locals catching crayfish in the river.
Didn't we agree to spend the evening as if nothing had happened, yet there's a feeling of tension somewhere?
I revere scholarship, sir. In fact, I have a family feeling for it. My brother Gregory's wife's brother, Mr. Konstantin Novoslovov, perhaps you have heard of him, had a master's degree in foreign literature.
I don't know him. Oh. Oh, but I know of him. Oh.
It's exactly a fortnight since George's suicide.
Well, come on, don't let's be downhearted.
All the same, there is a feeling of tension somehow.
Nature abhors a vacuum. She's taken two dear ones away from me, but she's brought lots of new friends to fill the gap. Your health, little Tukin.
Oh, thank you, Professor. Permit me in turn to drink to your fruitful academic work. Scatter the seed for a harvest of kindliness, reason, and goodness, and Russia will gratefully offer her thanks.
Oh, I appreciate the compliment, my dear sir. Then may our friendship ripen in the not-too-distant future.
Well, that's what's going on. Oh. Picnic!
Ah, Theo, my dear boy.
Hi, everyone.
Come on. Now, where have you been the last fortnight? I've seen nothing of you.
I haven't slept for three nights. Oh, I lost 5,000 rubles in cards last night, Father. I've been drinking and gambling. Made 6 trips to town. God. And I've gone completely... off me rocker.
Oh, good for you, good for you. I dare say you're a bit drunk now, too, eh?
Not a bit of it, Julia. Tea, girl. Make it on the tart side with a slice of lemon in it. Hmm? Oh, what price old George, then? Hmm? I'm putting a bullet through his head like that.
And what on earth possessed him to use a French revolver?
You're a swine, Theo.
Hmm? Hey, I may be a swine, but at least I'm a pedigree animal. My beard alone is worth a fortune. Well, I'm a swine, a drunkard, a layabout, but if I said the word, any girl would marry me just like that. Sonia, will you marry me? I'm sorry, pardonnez-moi, I'm sure. Oh,
Theo. Hmm? You're the worst drunkard and spendthrift in the country. Just look at
you. Oh, don't be such a spoilsport. Come and sit down beside me. I'm going to go and stay with you. I'm going to stay for a fortnight. Need a rest.
You're ashamed of yourself. You should comfort your father in his old age, and all you do is disgrace him.
Well, I'm giving up drinking, if that's what you mean. What kind of wine is this? Plum or cherry?
Don't drink
it. I'm allowed one glass. Going to lend you a pair of horses and a gun, Mr. Wood Demon. Going to go and stay with Julia. Going to stay for a fortnight.
Drink up your tea.
Yes, and I'll have a biscuit with it.
Do you know, old fellow, I used to live exactly like young Theodore here until I was 40 years of age. I once started counting up the women in my life that I'd made unhappy, and when I reached 70, I stopped counting. But old friend, when I reached 40, I suddenly became awfully depressed and out of sorts and all mixed up inside. It was really wretched. Oh, and I did everything for it I could, you know. I mean, reading, work, travel, but nothing did any good. Well, one day, I went to see an old friend of mine who's no longer with us, Dmitri Pavlovich.
Oh,
yes, yes, yes. Now, we had dinner. Oh, what a dinner. Hors d'oeuvre, everything. After dinner, instead of taking a nap, we set up target practice outside, and there were crowds of people there. Our friend Waffles was among them.
Yes, indeed. I haven't forgotten.
And you know, old friend, I suddenly felt I couldn't bear it any longer. I was absolutely miserable. I burst into tears. And I staggered out into the middle of the yard, and I bellowed out at the top of my voice, "My friends, good people, forgive me in the name of Christ." And from that very moment, I began to feel all pure and good and warm inside. And ever since then, I've been the happiest man in these parts. You ought to try it yourself.
Try what?
Well, do as I do. I mean, surrender, capitulate.
You're telling me to apologize? A fine piece of homespun philosophy. Oh. Why should I apologize? Let the others apologize to me.
But it's we who are at fault, Father.
Who is it? You're all thinking of the moment of my attitude to my wife, I presume. Do you really think it was my fault? Do you really think I'm to blame? Why she neglected her duty and left me just when I needed her most.
Listen to me, Serebryakov. For 25 years, you've been a professor and done academic things. While I've planted trees, practiced medicine. We say we're serving humanity, but all the time we're callously wrecking each other's lives. For instance, what did you and I do to save George? Where's your wife, whom we've all insulted? Where's your peace of mind? Where's your daughter's? And I thought myself a man of integrity when I couldn't forgive anyone the slightest mistake. When your wife sincerely offered me her friendship, I told her to leave me alone and said I despised her friendship. I mean, that's the kind of person I am. There's a demon inside me. I'm narrow-minded, blind, second-rate. But you're not all that marvelous yourself, Professor. I mean, we're all of us in a pretty bad way.
I didn't come here to cross swords with you or defend my claims to distinction.
I might change the subject.
All I'm saying is that there are no really first-class men among us.
And the women are no better.
No.
Helen! Yes, here I am. Oh. And I've been here for the past fortnight.
Charming. Professor, it was I who ran off with your wife, as Paris once ran off with Helen of Troy. I know you don't get pockmarked Parises, but there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
Well, why do you all stare at me? Can't we be friends?
Oh, my dear girl, dear wife of our dear professor, you glorious, beautiful creature, you. Oh, she's come back to us, she's returned.
Do let's be friends. Can we let bygones be bygones?
Yes.
Hello, Alexander.
You've neglected your duty.
Oh, Alexander.
I won't deny I'm happy to see you and I'm perfectly willing to talk to you. But at home, not here.
Alexander.
I see. So, the solution to our problem is a very simple one. It hasn't got a solution. Well, I admit I don't count for very much. My happiness is that of a cage bird, the sort of happiness suitable for a woman. That means being cooped up at home for the rest of my life, eating, sleeping, drinking, and listening every day to people going on about their gout and their merits and their rights. Well, why do you all look away? You're not embarrassed, are you? Oh, come, come.
Everything's come going to be fine.
You've upset me most terribly. Now, be kind to your wife. Please, say something nice to her, and I promise you my undying loyalty and friendship for the rest of my life. I'll present you with my best troika.
Thank you, but I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
You don't understand. One day I was coming back from a shooting trip. I saw a brown owl sitting in a tree. I let him have it with some small shot, but he didn't move. Just sat there. I let him have it some buckshot. Still, absolutely nothing doing. He just sat there. Blinking.
What was all that directed at?
A brown owl.
Wait, just a minute. No, quiet a moment, friends, quiet. I thought I heard bells. Must be a fire alarm.
Look at the sky!
Well... Oh, God. What are we waiting here for? Come along.
The Telebeof Woods.
The woods, Michael.
Let the woods burn. I'll find new ones. The one I love won't have me. I'll find myself another. What did he mean by that pronouncement?
Take me away. I want to go home.
See, this time, when it's getting awful cold and miserable out here, my rug and my overcoat must be around somewhere.
Your rug's in the carriage and your overcoat's here.
Take me away, for heaven's sake.
At your service.
Now go with my godfather. Please take me with you, godfather.
Yes, of course. In a moment, my dear, in a moment.
Mr. Yardin, would you get my hat and my cape from the house?
Certainly.
Yeah. I've got a pain in my leg. It must be rheumatism. That means another sleepless night.
Leo, can you take the plates, please? And the...
Carry me off, then, like the statue of the Commendatore in Don Giovanni. And let's go to hell together in your 26 gloomy rooms.
The statue of the Commendatore. I should have found the comparison more amusing were it not for the pain in my leg. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for a wonderful evening. The tea was excellent, and everything in the garden's lovely. There is one thing I cannot accept, and that is all this hedgerow philosophy and your general attitude. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need is action. We can't go on like this. We must do something. We really must. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Come over, little beggar maid. I'll see you later, Your Eminence. Yes, say, this basket's heavy, Jerry.
Come along.
Say goodbye to me. Charming.
Well, come along then, my little canary, my little pet. Come. Oh, dear, what's the matter?
I just can't move. I feel too weak. I'm so utterly miserable.
But my darling, my little love, what can it
be? Oh, let's stay here a bit.
But now, first it's take me away, then let's stay here. I don't know what's come over you, my love.
Well, I've lost all my happiness here today. Oh, I do feel awful. Why am I still alive?
Oh, if you did but know, my dear little... What can we... A glass of water. Glass of water!
What's the matter? I'm all of a tremble. I hate to see you when you're like this, child.
Come along.
Please, take me to the fire, please.
But why to the fire? What good can that do?
Oh, please, take me, or else I'll go on my own. I'm completely desperate.
Yes, what is it?
Could you... I can't possibly walk all the way. Could you lend me a horse?
Michael, do go away, please. I must talk to him.
Hmm?
Michael, you said you'd find someone else. Do go away, please. Well, I'm someone else now. I only want the truth. The truth and nothing but the truth. I love you. I love you, I love you.
That's what all this coming and going means.
Do go away, please.
Yes.
The truth and nothing but the truth.
speak to me. For heaven's sake, I've said all I have to say.
My darling.
When you tried to tell me that you loved me, I was so happy I could scarcely breathe. But I had all those absurd prejudices. And what stopped me telling you how I really felt? Why, the same thing that stops Father from smiling at Helen now. But now I'm free. Oh, don't go away now, Godfather.
Oh, you naughty, naughty children. So that's what all this hanging about means.
Oh,
chasing each
Bella,
other up hill and down dale. Oh, my little darling, my little canary. Oh, she's off again. Oh.
My treasure.
Oh, I'm in such a daze. Please go away.
Wait, wait. Well, what if I am always talking nonsense? Look, I don't want to go over to your place yet. We'll go for a walk first and then we'll drive over. Where's me whip?
I say, he's an old waffles and I see he hasn't even cleared the table yet. Ah. Somebody might have stolen the samovar. Oh, waffles. Waffles. He seems quite old, but he's no more sense than he was born with. I'm sure I heard someone talking as we were...
That's probably some of the locals bathing. Here's someone's glove. Sonia's! I don't know what's got into her today. She's crazy about the wood demon, you know. The poor chump can't see it. Come on. Hello.
Where are you taking me?
To the Weir. The most beautiful spot in the whole neighbourhood. A wondrous spot. Wood demons haunt. Where water nymphs sit in the trees. That's the way of it, old man.
But I'm not an old man.
Look, let's talk seriously. I've been through hell and high water. I'm 35 years of age. I've no position in life save sergeant in the Russian army, a lieutenant in the Serbian reserve. I'm neither one thing nor the other. I have this crazy idea, you see, that if I get married, my whole life will change. So will you marry me?
Hadn't you better
mind your
ways first?
And don't beat about the bush.
Well, I feel so embarrassed. I'm sure I heard someone. I think I can see waffles.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah! We heard you! We heard you!
Oh, my God! How wonderful!